God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Sitting down today with Pastor Larry Birch, and we're going to talk about the importance of rejoicing in the Lord always. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Welcome into this interview, friends. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program, and just glad you're able to take time with us here. Sitting down, who's us, by the way, sitting down with me is Pastor Larry Birch from Evangelical Pietist Church. He's become a regular on the program. Thanks for being with us, Larry.
Great to be here again, Jason.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're with us. And friends, we were just sitting down talking, and I think what a really good direction for us today is to kind of live in Philippians 4:4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. And it goes on to talk about being gentle and not being anxious and such. But I really want to hopefully have us focus in on what does rejoicing really mean? And some of you might be wondering, well, where are you going to go with this? Well, Larry, my friend Larry and discipler for now 6 months. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's been 6 months, and it's just awesome. Larry is someone that he likes to work a lot and do things, and sometimes he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not always. But he's also a cancer survivor.
Yes.
Right? And you know what? Let's just start there because, I mean, cancer is not fun. At all. And I'm guessing your experience with it wasn't fun either.
No, I just going through that real quick in my head, I can't see anything that caused me to break out laughing.
Right.
In that. I can say that when I got the diagnosis and I had to call my wife because she wasn't able to be with me at that appointment, it was the hardest phone call I ever made. To say, well, honey, it's cancer. Mm. And that was a little tough.
Yeah, I would guess so. And yet, you know, through our conversations, I mean, you've told me that, you know, when you met with the doctor regarding how to deal with it, you kind of decided to have everything in the kitchen sink thrown at you. Is that right?
Yes. The first thing was the surgery, and I joined a small but growing club of guys that have been diagnosed with male breast cancer. And when that diagnosis was given to me, the doctor went out to the receptionist area, got on the phone, called over to Blanchard Valley Hospital to set up a surgery date. And when he said what he said, modified radical left mastectomy, I went, my jaw was gathering dust on the floor.
Yeah.
And wow, this is real, Lord. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
So with that, I mean, so you get this news, you know, a lot of people when they hear rejoice in the Lord always, they think happy.
Right.
And that's happy is not joy, is it?
No. I've for years given the illustration between happy and joy. Happy is a response to external stimuli. You go to Cedar Point, and once you forget how much it cost you to get in there, you get on a roller coaster, if you're a roller coaster buff,
mm-hmm.
and you're happy, right? It's a response to that external stimulation. That's not joy. Joy is the presence of Christ in our lives, in every situation, in every circumstance. You know, children's song, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Great song, by the way. So that's where we reside as believers in Christ, or that's where we should be residing. We drift away from that from time to time, and it's easy to do. It really is. You have to keep your eyes focused on Christ and understand that whatever this world brings your way, A, this is a fallen place. Bad things happen to people, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm.
But God is, his providential hand is on us in all situations, and he can turn anything to our good. gee, that sounds a lot like Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, so you get this news, you make this call to your wife that you said was the hardest call you've ever had to make in your life. How do you find joy in that?
Well, I'll be real honest. I didn't feel it. Don't equate it with an emotion. Happy is an emotional response. Joy is not an emotional response. Joy is a state of being. Joy is knowing God is in control, and that in the end, we're going to be with Him. So whatever happens, you can have that joy of knowing final victory in Christ, regardless of the particular circumstances you find yourself in, whether you're young, old, or in the middle somewhere.
So, and as usual, I don't prepare people for everything I'm going to ask, but you know, being married, you know, and you know, being the husband in your marriage, how did you help your wife in and through this? Meaning, did you just try to have a good attitude? I'm assuming you didn't go, Ilana, you have to have a good attitude. I mean, how did that work?
Well,
or how does it work for you?
I think the first night we go to bed, and I say, honey, I have no idea where this is going. I didn't know if I had 6 months, 6 years, whatever. Right. I said, I just want you to be strong in your faith, because God takes me home first. I want to see you there. Mm. And she has been a rock. I know, I'm sure she gets alone by herself and pours her heart out to the Lord, and that's between her and God. She can pour her heart out to me too, but I'm not God.
Right.
I'm not her father. I'm her husband.
You know, can you kind of dig into that a little bit, the difference? Because I think a lot of people today, they look for security within their spouse, not within God.
Yeah, it's a dreadful mistake to think, well, I'm going to look for a life partner that meets all my needs. Well, that person doesn't exist. There's no girl that perfect. There's no guy that perfect. There's only God who is perfect. God meets our needs. What you need to find is someone with whom you have this relationship that's going to last for a lifetime. And you love one another, and love as a verb, not just an emotional response. So Ilana doesn't have to meet my needs. She does meet a lot of them from time to time, but the greatest needs are, I have to rely on God for those needs. We support one another.
You know, when you got this news and, you know, you were talking about lying in bed with your wife, and I mean, did it ever cross your mind to, you know, either apologize or to be like, you know, I'm just so sorry we're going through this, or that you're a part of this? I mean, did that ever happen? And if it didn't, that's fine.
I didn't. I don't think I verbally ever expressed that. I think I felt it. You know,
okay.
Yeah, I'm putting her through this. I wish I didn't have to. The second hardest thing, of course, was to tell our kids. Mm. And they've been pretty good troopers, too. With it, we have our four sons and our one daughter, and she's the youngest. She was in college, and we went up to her. She was sharing an apartment with some other girls and told her. And I think, you know, that image of the anvil hitting somebody? Mm. I think it was kind of like that for her.
So let's move forward just a little bit with the story. So as... Again, and not just a man, but as a husband, as a father, how did you, or how would you recommend somebody to, because we're told as fathers and husbands all the time, look, you need to be the strong one. You need to be the one that is the rock. You need, which is true, but you're still dealing with your own emotions. You're still dealing with, if you will, quote unquote, reality. So how does... Or is that bad advice to be the strong one? I mean, or is that biblical and we need to lean on the Lord? How does that look? Or at least how did it look for you?
Well, we need to, I think, do a little separating out here.
Okay.
And there. We have, you know, God has an order. And in terms of husband, wife, family, there are leadership roles. to say, I'm the rock of the family. No, I'm not. Christ is the rock. And we need to keep that square in our heads. If I think by my strength and by my ability, I will hold this family together, I will probably tear it apart. Because my motivation is wrong. My trust is in the wrong place. My trust is self-centered, not God-centered.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So with that of saying, okay, I'm going to lean on the Lord, if there's a husband or father tuning in right now, do you have any, I don't want to say advice, but just what would you recommend as far as a father growing in his relationship with Christ that he could move toward?
Okay, let's start with don't lean on the Lord. What?
Okay.
What did he say?
Yeah.
Don't lean on the Lord. Be in the Lord.
Ah.
We are called to be in Christ, to abide in Christ, and have Christ abide in us. And if I think I can just lean on the Lord to get a little help, get a little farther down the road, then I'm wrong. I am to be being conformed more and more into the image of God's dear Son. And that is that he abides in me, and I abide in him, and I grow in my understanding of that. Now, I brought something into the studio. I'm not going to hold it up to the mic so everybody can see it now. Okay, you see that? Great. This is our children's bulletin that we do every Sunday for the kids. I have a grandson that loves mazes, so when I see a good maze, and this is a terrific maze, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, it's good.
And the title says, Find the Way Between the Opposites That Paul Experienced. I did this, and this is tough. This is really tough. And so the top one is dying and then living, and then sorrowful and always rejoicing, poor, making many rich, having nothing, possessing everything. I tell you what, I had to keep my eye forward to make my way through this thing. If I didn't look, looking ahead for me is being founded in Scripture. Going to the Lord in prayer and taking your prayers to the Word. And so this maze was only possible if I would stop, look ahead, and follow the leading to get to the right conclusion. So that's why I brought that thing in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get bored Sunday mornings, go get one of the children's bulletins.
Right. So, absolutely. So, there's good stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. I pick them, so.
That's right. So, with us as we continue to talk here, again, friends, I'm sitting down here with Pastor Larry Birch. He's the senior pastor at Evangelical Pietist Church in Chatfield, Ohio. And, Larry, again, if anybody is interested in knowing more about the church there, the ministry going on, where can they find any information about it?
Well, they can find it at several different places. We have a church website, and the address there is Pietist, and this is all lowercase,
okay.
Pietist, P-I-E-T-I-S-T, church, all one word, .org. We have a Facebook page, which is Chatfield Evangelical Pietist, and we have a YouTube channel, which is Chatfield Evangelical.
Okay.
And we have an office phone, which is 419-988-0204.
Okay. And with that, too, you're also doing a little personal project on the Proverbs. I was going to say it's Psalms, but it's the Proverbs. Yeah. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, last year we did, and we started this in March, which was God's amazing timing. We did a read through the Bible, a Bible set up to read a daily reading, and everybody was reading it together. And I would do about 5 days a week. I'd do a little spot on that particular day's reading. Well, we completed that. And so this year I thought, let's study the Proverbs together and do a devotional. So I do a weekly, not a daily, little spot on where we are in Proverbs, where I am in Proverbs. And right now we're in chapter 3. And that
sounds pretty typical.
Yeah, you know me now, don't you? But that's on the YouTube channel.
Okay, so they can just find that there on the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the ones with the picture of the church as the thumbnail.
Okay, awesome. And so let's keep moving on here. Again, we're taking some time and just talking about what does rejoicing in the Lord really mean. And again, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. This is Jason DeZurek here, your host for the program. And Larry, this earlier this year, you're out working in your yard, and well, just kind of explain what took place.
Well, I was doing some yard work, like I said, helping Ilana out, and I was pulling this garden wagon loaded with paving stones, which got caught in a rut dug by our beloved dog. Mm-hmm. And I turned around to pull it backwards to get it out of that, and when it popped out of the rut, I just went flat down hard on the ground backwards. That caused some amazing immediate results. I didn't know a body could generate that much electricity.
Right.
So ended up going to the doctor, and they took an X-ray and then an MRI, and you know how this story mm-hmm. goes. The result being they discovered an issue in my neck that probably had been there for quite some time and was growing, but without that fall, again, providence of God, they wouldn't have taken those images to show it to us. The result of that diagnosis is, well, I've got to have neck worked on.
Okay. So with that, I mean, right, even your attitude right here, right now, with what you said, I'm just amazed by it, because this injury happens, and you immediately go to, well, providence of God, there was an issue there, and thank God that happened to me. That is just not how many people think these days. So can you help our listeners understand, why do you go there? And I would guess it's good for your spirit, but what are some benefits to doing that?
Well, it's pretty countercultural. I'll give you that right off the bat. Our culture is very focused on me.
Yeah.
The powerful message is what's good for you is all that matters. You need to be as happy as you can be all the time. And that's self-centered. Mm. And over time, by the grace of God, he's teaching me to be other-centered. Now, the first other is Christ. And the second other is honestly, is my wife. And then the third other is everybody. So if I see life as that which God has set in my roadmap out, and there are some twists and turns that kind of are confusing once in a while, but God is still the one who is guiding and leading, and I'm to be centered in Christ. So whatever comes, I have joy because of Jesus. So I can take this stuff. I'm not saying that I never react poorly. I'm not saying I never have emotions. I do have emotions.
Yeah.
After the first surgery, a cancer surgery, I was sitting on the couch at home after getting out of the hospital, and I was in a depression. To be real honest with you, I was in a depression. God used his people to touch my heart. One day, 12 cards came, 12, from members of the church. And as I opened them, I was sitting there weeping, realizing this was God. This was God's, again, providential hand. I'm pretty sure the U.S. Post Office didn't meet and say, hey, let's get all these cards to Larry in one day.
Right.
I'm real sure that didn't happen. But God met me at the point of need, and he used his people to minister, even though they weren't in the room. And I guess from then on, it's really, he's been growing this attitude of, hey, I've got this. Matter of fact, one of the cards was, hey, we've got this. But, you know, God's got it. God's got your life. You believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that's critical. And both words, Lord and Savior, you can't separate them. Then you surrender your life and your heart to him, and he has you in the center of his heart.
You know, let's talk about that real quick. You said you can't separate Savior and Lord. I think a lot of people do that these days.
I think it's a very common mistake.
Okay. Why do you call it a mistake?
Because that's not who he is. He's not one or the other. He's Lord and Savior. And that phrase is very common phrase in Scripture. You know?
Yeah.
And you can't, to separate it is to make them, all I want is fire insurance, okay? I like the idea of a Savior, but I want to run my own show. Then you have never met Christ. You have not met Christ. You do not know the depth of salvation if you don't surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
So with that, because that I agree with you. I think that's a hard message to hear for some people. Only because we like to be in control. I'm just being honest. I like being in control. But to hear saying, okay, Savior and Lord, they're connected. Mm-hmm. For someone who's tuning in right now and saying, well, I've made him my Savior. I know he's my Savior. And now it sounds as if you're saying, I've got to work my salvation, work for it. I know what I would say, but to a person like that, what would you say to them?
First off, I will say this. Surrendering to the Lordship of Christ takes time. It's a journey. It is processed, if you will, like sanctification. It's really, I don't think you can separate those two. Being sanctified in Christ and Christ as Lord of my life, they're probably the same thing. Not probably. But to understand that it's not works, well, just go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, that's all I got to do. Go to verse 8 and forward. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast. But then we are Christ's workmanship, created in him to do good works that were established before the foundation of the world. So, yeah, we do work, but we work as children of God, not work to become children of God.
That word sanctified, if you could dig into it just a little bit, give a good definition of it, because it's a word we hear. It's a churchy word. It's
definitely
a
churchy
word. It's about doctrine. So when you say that word sanctification, what do you mean?
Well, in terms of that word being applied in the New Testament, it is to be set aside for service to the Lord. And we grow in our capacity for serving the Lord. And that is a process of sanctification. I know it's one of those doctrine theology words. But it means that's the surrender to me, that I'm surrendering more and more and more. I'm slowly letting go of the reins, if you will, if you know horses, or the steering wheel, however you want to put, whatever metaphor works for you there. I'm in control. I meet Jesus. I got to let him be in control, and I want him to be in control, but it takes time. It takes prayer. It takes knowledge of the Word of God. It takes experience, and it is journey. It's process.
So for the person tuning in right now saying, well, I've prayed the prayer. I know I'm saved. Now it sounds as if you're saying the Word of God is saying, okay, now you need to, as you said, set aside everything, but it's a process. It takes that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what does a person do? Because I've been in these conversations. I've known people in ministry who I would say really like what I call greasy grace. And they say, well, we're all going to sin anyway. And so, you know, when I sin, because I do, does that mean I lose my salvation? What would you say to that person?
Well, first off, let's go to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. There is no cheap grace.
Okay.
You know, if you have a view of grace that it is your ticket to do whatever you jolly well want to do, I don't think you've ever found the grace of Christ in your life. I don't think you've surrendered to the grace of Christ, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Will I sin? Yes. Why? Because I'm a human being and I bear the marks, the scars of being a sinner. Do I do it willfully, knowing that I plan ahead to, I'm going to do this because I can get away with it because I got this insurance card? But then chances are I've not met Christ. I've met a Christ that I have concocted in my own image. I'm trying to, as you know, God created human beings in his image, and ever since then, we've been trying to return the favor and recreate God in our image.
Right.
So I may have a lowercase Jesus that I think I know, but I haven't met Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. You know you're saved? All right. Then get on the journey. Get into the Bible. Get into a great prayer relationship with God and with fellow believers. Meet together, grow together, be accountable to one another.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, friends, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Azurek, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Larry, we've got about 2 minutes to go here, and I just want to give you the final word if there's anything the Lord is stirring up in you.
Wow.
Yeah, no pressure.
no pressure at all. Well, a few Sundays back, I mentioned the advantages of being old, and the great advantage of breathing is that God's still at work. And I'm not yet with the Kingdom song. I'm on my way home. I'm not yet where I'm going, but I'm a long way from where I was. Mm-hmm. And I hear the choir of angels cheering me on. Mm. I'll sign off with that.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, friends, sitting down with my friend, Pastor Larry Birch. He's the senior pastor at Chatfield Evangelical Pietist Church in Chatfield, Ohio. And again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You go out and make today great. You don't know me now.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.